Hey, it's a big schuss to be able to be back together and give a little bit of chizik, a little bit of musr. It's been a few weeks. Hopefully, just because we haven't learned together doesn't mean the learning hasn't been going on. And hopefully, there's still been a lot of Torah learning that's been going on. Obviously, these days, these last few weeks, were very, very difficult days. And difficult days that called upon Klal Yisrael to intensify our chesed, to intensify our giving, intensify our care for others who are so deeply in need, and that definitely in time should have taken away somewhat from our learning Torah, because as we are all B'nai Rachamim, every single one of us should realize that this was a time, and hopefully over the last few weeks, and still, there are many people still in need, and we should be doing a lot more chesed these days than we've done, and that does take away. It's definitely a zman, I believe, where it's yefsher lasos ayde acherim, because there's so much work to be done. There's so much work to be done, and there's so many people in need that every single one of us should be taking of our time and to be helping out those who are in need, whether it's cleaning out houses or in any way possible. It's a big time for chesed. But that being said, as B'nai Yeshiva, we understand that there's something called Torah's chesed. And there's something that's important, that our mainstay and our rock, our yisoid of life, is that we're learning Torah, and there can't be chas v'shalom days where we're not learning Torah. And Torah should be, our learning of Torah is the biggest yeshua, and should be in the schus of those who need, should bring just shefa, and bring yeshua, and bring those who need a nechama, and those who need simcha in their life. So it should be a schus for that as well. So there can't be time, wherever we are, whether it was days where we didn't officially have yeshiva, or days now that we're in a different makom and it's a little more difficult, and there were days when it was very hard with gas, and days. Hopefully, I don't know how many passed the nisayon, but it was a nisayon to see that we'd stay strong in our learning as well. Maybe taking away a little bit time for the chesed, but that there wasn't a day where we didn't learn seriously, even if we weren't necessarily in yeshiva. My biggest chizik over the entire storm, over the entire time, that when we, over here, at least in the high school, we had an entire week where we didn't officially have yeshiva, and then another day with a snowstorm, and there was a Sunday that was supposed to be off. In my high school shiur, and those who know my high school shiur also isn't necessarily the top masmidim in the yeshiva, we didn't have one day where we missed yeshiva, whether it was in my house, whether it was in my parents' house. I'm not saying every single guy came every day, and there were guys that came every day, there were guys that came whenever they could, whatever it was, but not a day went by, and it was such a chizik for me to see that these boys who are still in high school understand the chashivas of Torah, that even in difficult times, a day shouldn't go by where we don't learn Torah. There's a famous Rashi, and I want to start with a Torah that I'm sure you all know, but it's mere just an introduction to what we're going to discuss a little bit. This is the famous Rashi, probably the most famous Torah in this week's Sedra. The Rashi of Yisroisu Abana Bekirba. I was talking it over the other day with some of the Chevra. And we all know the Rashi, Yisroisu Abana Bekirba, and Rashi tells us, Rabbi Seinu Darshan Lashon Ritza, that Ritza means to rut, to run, that these children in Rivka's stomach were running. Where were they running? Kishayisa Iveres Apischei Torah Shal Shem Ve'Ever. Once you passed Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, Yaakov rut mefarches lases. Yaakov ran and was jumping to get out. He wanted to be there. By the way, specifically Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, people say over this Torah. I actually just recently saw it quoted, written over in English. I was reading in a certain sefer wrongly that every time she passed, it says like a makom Torah, a general makom Torah, or a general makom kedusha. It says specifically Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. Why, we don't have the time to discuss now, but Emma, if you want to see, be my ayin in Sefer Emes LeYaakov, and you'll understand how Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explained what was learnt in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, and you understand why at that moment Yaakov needed to be specifically from that Torah. It wasn't only any makom kedusha. And then Overas Apischei Avodah Zarah, that's general, any makom Avodah Zarah, Esav Mefarches Lases. Esav would jump to get out. Interesting, it's not a Lashon Ratz over there. By Yaakov, it's Yaakov rut mefarches lases. Yaakov ran and was jumping. And Esav was just jumping to get out. I have some thoughts on this now for now either. Something for you guys to think about and maybe come up with a pshat why you find it different. Because Yitzroitz and Su should be ruts in both of them. But Rashi doesn't Rashi, this Chazal is quoting this Bereishis Rabbah, it's Rots by Yaakov and not by Esav. But Lamaisa, the famous question on this Rashi is, the Gemara Nida tells us that when every single one of us was in the womb of our mothers, we were learning Kol HaTorah Kula with a Malach. We're learning Kol HaTorah Kula with a Malach, and when we're born, we forget that Torah. Yaakov Avinu is learning Kol HaTorah Kula with a Malach. So why does Yaakov Avinu want to run away from that? Why does Yaakov Avinu want to go to Yeshiva Shem Ever to learn other Torah? I mean, he has obviously the best Rebbe in the world. He's learning Kol HaTorah Kula. Where is he looking to go? So there are many answers. There are some famous answers. But one of the most famous answers, I'm sure you guys have learned this before, is that Yaakov Avinu understood that his Torah that he was learning in the womb was spoon-fed, was easy. He didn't put any yigiyas. He didn't put any amelus into that Torah. It was all sat back, relaxed, and the Torah came his way. He understood that true Torah, Torah that we're koine, Torah that we acquire, anu amelim veim amelim anu amelim kamschar, is Torah of amelus. Only if I'm working hard, only if I'm putting in effort, only if I'm breaking my mind and my back over that Torah, is that Torah going to be avkiyamis? Is that Torah going to be part of me and not just some sort of intellectual pursuit? And therefore Yaakov said, this is beautiful and wonderful, and it's nice to build a little bit of a foundation in connection to Torah as I'm learning with the Malach, but I need my amelus. And therefore, Ratu Mefarches, he was running away. He was running away, running towards amelus, running to be amel, to work hard in his learning of Torah. What does it mean to work hard, be amel b'Torah? There's all different types of amelus. There's amelus of those of us who have tremendous asmada. And what it means is the amelus when it's late at night and I'm tired and I'm in the base medrash and I have everything in my mind is telling me I just go home and relax a little bit and I push myself to learn the next 15 minutes, to learn the next 20 minutes, to learn the next half hour. Those amelus. Amelus b'Torah. There's amelus when I'm in Seder as well. Amelus, I'm sitting in Seder when I'm there. My time that I'm already koiveya, my time that I've already set aside, and I'm in a toisvus, and I read it, and I don't get it the first time, so it's easy. I can go to my sholomation, I can go to my rebbe, I can go to a friend and ask for pshat. Or I'm learning a gemara, and I don't know, so I can immediately just jump to an art scroll and read the art scroll and try to get an understanding. Or I could be amal, I could work hard in it, I could try to understand it on my own, I could use my mind, I could be my ayin, and be amal in that chochma, amal in that gemara, amal in that rashi, amal in that toisvus. That's amelus b'Torah. Torah is not just learning to translate. We need amelus. We need to work hard in building, in putting in effort in learning. But maybe there's a third amelus I want to speak about. There's the amelus that's situational. There's an amelus that means that not just when I'm in the environment that's most conducive, but on any day, wherever I am, whenever it is, I have to be pushing myself to learn. That even over the last few weeks specifically, when it's been a little bit less conducive, where I've been in different environments, I haven't had necessarily my regular yeshiva to go to, and then I had to be home for a few days just based on the situation of the terrible storm. And then now we're in a whole different yeshiva. The yeshiva we're in right now, it's not a yeshiva, it's a shul, and it's far from as conducive as we had it. And we're here momentarily for the time being, and therefore it's a little bit easier to be relaxed, a little bit easier to come late, a little bit easier to not, I don't have the svarim, I don't even have my svarim, all I have sometimes is just a gemara, because I don't have svarim, and I have less svarim, and everything's a little bit harder in that sense, because of where I am. Amelus, this is amelus, is an opportunity for amelus. It's an opportunity to work harder. It's an opportunity to grow in such a way. This is how it's been. There were times when we were without light, and there were times when it was dark. And what were we doing? We say, okay, so it's less conducive, there are no lights, and it's dark, and it's cold. So, zel, finish. I'm not going to learn today. I'll learn when it's most conducive. Not that I'm looking to get away from my learning. Chas v'shalom. But it's harder, it's too hard for me. Or did I make sure, and I did persevere, and put in the amelus? You know, the first couple of nights, Sandy came on a Monday night, so Monday night and Tuesday night, I was still in my house without power. Already by Wednesday, it got very cold, and we moved into my parents' house without power. So Monday night and Tuesday night, it was dark already, early it's dark, and whatever, at least I took spend some time with the kids, and then put the kids to sleep, and it's dark, and there's not much you can do. So I wanted to sit and learn. So I took out a sefer, a gemara, whatever it was, and I surrounded We only had a couple flashlights and what was in my kid's room, whatever it was. And so I surrounded my sefer with candles. And I was learning by candlelight. And I was very excited about it at first. You know, you learn, you hear stories, you know, back to tzaddikim and learning by candlelight. And you hear about how Chacham Avadya, he would, late at night when he was a little kid, would take his sefer under the crack of the door to be able to see. And that's why he strained his eyes, and his eyes are so terrible. Learning by such dim light. And I said, okay, it's an opportunity, it's something very special. But I'll tell you the truth. I learned like that to some degree. But to me, I don't know, it was very hard. Number one, the light was not so great. MS's candlelight, at least the way I had it set up, it wasn't such great light, and it was hard to learn. And not only that, when you're in an environment where all that's illuminated is the sefer in front of you, but surrounding you is all darkness. So this is something, it's just tiring in a certain sense. And it's not the same, it's hard that when you're in a lit up base medrash. And it was, mamish was hard. I didn't learn as much as I would have liked to. And I don't think I was learning to the level I would have liked to. And I was pushing myself, I was trying. And there was a Talmud of mine that was in Baltimore, and he was texting me and that night and asked me how I was. I knew he's a very spiritual Talmud. And I texted him how I knew he'd like the idea that, Baruch Hashem, okay, I'm learning by candlelight. And I said, but I wrote to him, but I'll tell you them, it's very hard. I don't feel that I'm learning in the same way. He writes back and he's like, now you could understand why it used to be we had so many more tzaddikim and so many more talmidei chachamim, because the learning had to be with so much more amelus. That there had to be so much more amelus. They were forced to have so much more amelus. They didn't have the light we have. They didn't have the situation. So all their learning was full of amelus. When it's full of amelus, you're kind of yagati matasi tamen, the Gemara tells us. Yagati matasi tamen. We are in such easy, conducive environments, we don't put as much amelus naturally. We have to create the amelus. It's harder to become. Tamid chamim we should become, and we can become. Here we were forced to be in a situation of amelus. Did we step up to that nisayon? Where was our amelus the last few weeks? Where is our amelus now? When we're stuck, not in our regular yeshiva. The Pasuk says, referring to the Torah of Yaakov, as we all know, famous Pasuk, Perchav Hei, Pasuk of Zayin, V'Yaakov Ish Tom Yoshev Ohalim. Yaakov Ish Tom Yoshev Ohalim. Yaakov was Ish Tom, was a complete, pure individual. Yoshev Ohalim, and most explain Yoshev Ohalim, he's sitting in tent to Ohel Shel Torah. That he was sitting and learning Torah. And right away you read this pasuk, you should have a question. In the word Ohalim is plural, it's Lashon Rabim. What's the Yoshev? It should be Yoshev Ohel. What's Yoshev Ohalim? And Rashi obviously is bothered by this, and there's a famous Rashi. How Rashi tells us, what is Yoshev Ohalim? Ohal shall shame, Ohal shall aver. Which seems to be Rashi teaching us, perhaps, although you could learn this in two different ways, but maybe Yeshiva Shem Aver was not one makom, but there are two separate yeshivas, Ohel Shel Shem, but Ohel Shel Aver. And that's Ohalim, the two, Shem ve'Aver, two separate makomos. Rav Baruch Dov Vavarsky, the Rav Shiva of Panovich, as sort of Simon brings down, he gave a different pshat, I mean, along the same line, says, what does Yoshiva Ohalim mean? That you're sitting and learning by Shem, sitting and learning by Aver, that every Talmud, and we're all Talmidim, have to be used to and want to learn from many different Rabbeim. We can't just decide, I'm only going to learn from one Rebbe. We have to learn from many Rabbeim. We have to be, what does it mean? Open to learn from many people. That we be open to learn from many Rabbeim. As the Gemara of Odedar Daf Yates says, Kol Lomei Torah Mirab Echad, Eino Roa Simin Brachal Oilam. If you're only going to learn in one Derech, and from one Rebbe, in one way, you're not going to see, you have to be willing to learn from many different Rabbeim. That's what Ohalim perhaps means. But I thought maybe for our purposes you could say as follows, maybe this is what Rashi meant to say, Ohal Shoshem Shoal Shoever. You know what it means, Yoshev Ohalim? That Yaakov Avinu had a melus that he learned in many different tents. Meaning what? It wasn't just when it was conducive and he had this chus to learn by his Tata Yitzchak Avinu or by his Zayda Avram Avinu. That's when he was sitting and learning Torah. It was Yoshev Ho'alim, whatever oil he was in, whatever tent he was in, wherever he was found, he was sitting and steiging in Torah. Anywhere we are, we have to be sitting and learning by Amelus. If we're stuck in our homes where it's without power, we have to be learning. And we're stuck in a shul, which is not our regular Beit Medrash, we have to be learning by Amelus. Yaakov Avinu, and he goes, and then he's in Haran, and he's stuck. You think he wasn't continuing to learn? You think he gave it all up? Yoshev Ohalim, B'lashon Rabbim, wherever he was sitting and learning Torah. And that's us as well, wherever we are. This is what true Amelus is. That we're not just based on, I'm a Talmud when I'm in my personal conducive yeshiva. A true Ben Torah is wherever I am. Perhaps as well, I believe the Ramban said, I don't remember where the Ramban was. I thought I saw this in the Ramban. Maybe one of the Rabbanim could correct me, tell me where it is. But that's why the Torah was given in the Midbar, and we were constantly traveling. I definitely, it's on my own. We're constantly traveling, and sometimes the Rabbanim, we stay in one place for one day, and sometimes for a week. And we're constantly traveling, and part of that idea was when we were mamish, the Dor HaDeah, building Yisuf Torah, foundation of Torah, it had to be not in the most conducive environment. It had to be one day I'm here, one day I'm there, and I'm still continuing to learn, continue to build the foundation of Torah for all of Klal Yisrael, because that's what has to be built within us. That we have to be willing and able to learn in every single environment we're in, wherever we are. That's the relationship we have to have with Torah. And this chus, I took my Talmidim to this past Sunday to do Chesed. We went to Shar Yashiv. Achiezer is being run out of Shar Yashiv. We did different things. They told us to do different things, whatever they needed help with. But I went into the main Beis Medrash. We learned together for a few minutes with my Shir in the Beis Medrash. Baruch Hashem, was beautiful to see many Talmidim who are learning in that yeshiva these days. And I went, and the Rosh Shiva, I went over and was talking to Rosh Shiva, Rav Yeager, for a few minutes. I have this chus to know, Mamish, such a Talmud Chacham, such a tzaddik, Rav Yeager. And he tells me, his eyes lit up when he was telling me, he wanted to tell me about one Talmud of ours, one Talmud of mine, who I'm very close to, Talmud who learned in our yeshiva, and now learning there, who he said, there wasn't one day he missed. We didn't have, they still at this point when I was there, they didn't have power yet in the yeshiva. He said, at home he had power, and he came and he still stayed in our dorms and learned all day. He said, there were very few guys here. He's one of the guys who was a mamisha omud of the Beis Medrash. His face was lit up. Talking about this is what the nachas was. That's amelus in every situation, in every makom, wherever it is. I'm sitting and learning Torah the amelus. Where does it come from? Where does that come from? It comes from a deep, unbelievable love, a deep, unbelievable closeness where I can't be without Torah. I can't be without it. I need it wherever I am, whenever I am. Just to bring out a story that maybe explains a little bit of that. And the schus, we'll end with this. Schus this past week, to be by a simcha. It's wonderful to be by simchas after such difficulty. A chasana of a close talmud of mine. And I was at the table, sitting next to Rabbi Eitan Feiner. When we're talking, it's always very special to talk to Rabbi Feiner. He's mamish, a walking tzaddik. And he told me over the following story. We were discussing the tragedy of all the lost svarim and chidushi Torah and Sifrei Torah that unfortunately were lost over these last few weeks. If you go to Shar Yashiv just to see a glimpse, to get a little bit of argasha, there's a tractor trailer outside. I don't know, I believe it's still there, I'm not sure. Full of Seamus. Tractor trailer full of Seamus. You know what Seamus that is? Losing Chedusha Torah, losing Sifrei Torah. One shul lost in Atlantic Beach 9 Sifrei Torah. Losing Sifrei Torah, losing Svarim. I went with Talmidim, we put into Seamus, into bags, the Svarim of Rabbi Billet, about $75,000 worth of Svarim. It was heart-wrenching. So we're discussing this loss, and not just loss of Svarim, of Chedusha Torah, of those who, your own Torah is lost. You know how priceless that is? It's priceless, you lose it forever. It's mamish price, I don't know what, I can't even imagine. I know myself, every night when I go into my house, when I have my bag with how much Torah do I have in my bag, whatever notes I have from my Masechta, notes on Parsha a little bit, I'll never leave that in my car, ever overnight. I just think, Chas v'shalom, my car is stolen, fine, take the car. That I should lose my Chedusha Torah, it's mamash priceless. I would never leave it in the car overnight. So he told me the following story, we'll end with this, a little bit late, I'm sorry. Maral Diskin one time was moving somewhere, and I don't remember the exact details, if you told me, whatever, Maral Diskin was moving, and he had Talmidim helping him moving, he was moving Svara, moving Chedusha Torah. And you know what it is, when you move something, when you're carrying something, so the bigger boxes go on the bottom, the smaller on top, that's what's easiest to carry. Maral Diskin saw this, and he knew, in the bigger boxes were his father's Chedusha Torah, and the smaller boxes were his Chedusha Torah. And he went over the top, and he says, you can't carry it in that way, you have to put my father's Chedusha Torah on top of my Chedusha Torah. Is that halacha? I don't know if there's such halacha. The chidushi Torah, one has to go on top of another. There's no real halacha like this that I feel. It was an emotional kivut of aim, perhaps, whatever it was exactly. Obviously, we know there are halachas. The Torah goes on top of the Nevi'im Ksuvim. Chidushi Torah, I don't think there's such a halacha, not that I know of. But it was a certain hargosha, a certain midah of kivut of aim. But Talmid Me, now we know, we all know the Maharil Diskin with Maharil Diskin, right? How many of us know the Maharil Diskin's father? We don't have to. Obviously, he was a Talmid Chacham. It's Talmid Me asking him, b'chavod, like, what makes, yeah, I'm sure they asked this in a respectful way, what makes the Rebbe's Torah less chashiv than his father's Torah? Because you look at Maharil Diskin, they think, what makes it less chashiv? So he answered as follows. He says, one time my father used to get many, many, many shilas. And so many shilas, he didn't have the time sometimes. It was such a lion. So what happened, when I was much younger, but he'd make me that I was like a gabbai, and I would also answer shilas. The easier shilas. And any time I was a shila I didn't know for sure, then I'd go and ask him. And this is how many places are set up. Bizman Hazeh even. And one time a shila came my way, the Maharal Diskin says. Someone brought a sefer Torah that was burnt. It was in a lake, it was in a fire, and it was burnt. And they're able, it could have been parts of the Sefer Torah were burnt, and it could have been just put the whole Sefer Torah into Geniza, or perhaps they could cut away the Urios, the pieces of parchment that were burnt, and then put in new and fix up the Sefer Torah. And they weren't sure if in such a situation what you're supposed to do, what the halacha is. Should we put the whole Sefer Torah into Geniza, or should we be able to fix it up? And the Maharal Diskin said that he didn't know the halacha. He wasn't sure how to paskin. So he brought they had the Sefer Torah. He brought the Sefer Torah to his father. His father opens the door. And before they could ask the Shiloh, the moment his father saw the burnt Sefer Torah, his father immediately fainted. Just the sight of a burnt Sefer Torah, he fainted. So that's the difference between my father's Torah and my Torah. Meaning what? The connection, the love, the sensitivity towards Torah, the mamish, my Torah is my life, that to see a burnt Sefer Torah, I mamish faint, I can't continue. When you live such a life, so I can't be without Torah, obviously in every situation, obviously wherever and whenever I'm going to be with Torah. Bez Hashem is Baruch, we should all be Zaycheh. When you go through difficult times, we have to look back and gain lessons and grow from it. And one of those areas of growth, besides for all the ways of chesed that we hopefully grew in and will grow in, when it comes to our learning, that we should learn by amelus, we should take from here and learn how to learn in every situation. Where we're going to be, maybe not on this grand scale as a community, but as individuals, we're going to be in situations where it's difficult, in days where it's difficult, and have to learn from here. My amelus has to be in every makom, in every makom, in every place. And if we're zoiche to show the Rabbanu Shalom that, the Rabbanu Shalom should only bring Yeshuas, and we won't need these reminders and need these lessons. And just to connect the Torah and the Kodesh Baruch Hu always. We're going to have a halig, a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. And we'll continue somewhere next week. We don't even know where we'll be, but we'll have a melis wherever we'll be. There's...